first question that we usually get. And, you know, T and I live in New York City, and we're filmmakers there. And we were in New York when the levees broke. And we were at home seeing it on television and just feeling outrage and feeling sadness. And we're kind of motivated to do what we do to try and, can people hear me?
Yeah.
Okay. To do what we do to try and make sense out of this. And we went to Central Louisiana following a different story initially, which was the return of the National Guard troops who were from Louisiana, who had been stationed in Baghdad 10,000 miles away when the levees broke. And many of them were being brought home early because they had lost their homes. Excuse me. And we thought that would be a good way to draw the line between, to show what happens when you spend hundreds of millions of dollars a day on a war overseas and you have real needs right here at home. This is what happens. This is what happens, what we did to the citizens of the Gulf Coast. But that didn't go real well, and it took a few days before the National Guard caught on and shut us down. And the PR flag kind of muttered under her breath that Fahrenheit 9/11 screwed it up for all of you guys. And well, we did volunteer that we were producers of that film that we worked on. And you know, Tia stayed behind, pleading our case with the National Guard. To try and get back into good graces. They've been kind enough to give us credentials so we could come and go from New Orleans as we please. But I went across the street to a Red Cross shelter, and it's a long story, it's a long answer, but that's where Kimberly and Scott appeared in front of the camera. They interrupted an interview. Exactly the way that you, the audience, meet them on screen is how we met them. And, you know, 2 weeks before the storm, a little bit of their backstory was Kimberly had bought this video camera, high-end video camera, which is ancient technology in our business. She bought it for $20 on the street, just because it was a good value. She hadn't really thought what she might do with it, you know, beyond taking family events, that sort of thing. But when she and Scott couldn't leave, you know, we see what she did with it. It was amazing.
And you know, it was actually many days before we actually saw the footage. Carl and I were going down to New Orleans to do some filming there. Kimberly and Scott asked to come along because they were looking for their dogs and the picture of her mother. And it was in that car ride, two and a half hours south, that we got to know them. We, you know, really, you know, we were drawn instantly, but we understood that there was more to them. And really, they captivated us. You know, they were self-described street hustlers, and they were talking about transforming their lives. And that was before, so we were interested in following them, and then they showed us the footage a few days later, and it was this opportunity not only to tell their story and their journey in the aftermath of the storm, but also to capture their five-day ordeal in the midst of that. Now, Kimberly's battery had run out the first day after the storm. So the day of the storm. So she was able to take the day before the storm and the day of the storm, and we incorporated about 15 minutes of that footage into the film, and then the rest of their 4 or 5 day ordeal was sort of reconstructed with other footage and other voices. And you know, Kimberly sort of at one point just handed the camera to Brian, and he started to shoot. And unfortunately, much of that was sort of unusable. So. But lovely.
Kim preferred being in front of the camera.
Do we have any questions in the audience? Yes, right over here. I want to know about Danny Glover. What about Danny Glover? What is the association? Danny Glover, as you saw maybe in the credits, is our executive producer. What happened was when Carl and I returned to New York after our first shoot, we started shopping this around. We wanted to get some financing. We went to commissioning editors in New York, mostly television. And we heard a lot of no's. And that's sort of what you're used to as independent filmmakers. But very odd things were said to us, like, this isn't going to be political, is it? It's like, no, definitely not. was that the New York Republic, though the government failed to step up, I think the New York Republic really did. And people all over the country opened up their homes, they opened up their wallets, people have gone down to the Gulf region to rebuild them. And in every community in the country, because they really felt connected to what was happening and really wanted to do something. So it sort of renewed my faith in the sense of community that does exist in the States that you don't hear much about.
Can I just add something real quick?
We have some clipboards with, what this reminds me, part of what we're doing with this film and with Danny and Kim and Scott is we're trying to use this film to support people doing good works all over their communities, all over the United States, because it's not just about Capitol Hill and Coast. We have a website, and people who are interested in learning more about the issues and find out where they can engage in their own communities in the U.S. Are signing up on our website. And we've got some clipboards that we can just begin circulating. If you're interested in getting on the list to get more information and updates about what's going on with the film, what's going on with Kimberly and Scott, and what's going on with the rebuilding efforts along the Gulf Coast, please write down your name and your email address for us, please. And also check out our website. It's troublewaterfilm.com. We've collected a lot of vital resources there.
Any other questions, guys? Up there?
My question is, what I found amazing about your film was the powerful oppression, which was so suddenly easy to see, but also the power of giving voice to people who are oppressed. And Katrina's happened, and also in a Canadian context, we don't have an election coming up, and you screwed up our last one. But seriously, I'm wondering if you see, or if you're willing to take on the responsibility that this film could have in terms of showing people how, giving people access to their voice. And, I look around this audience and the people here maybe aren't the people in the film and, the students in our city and, the people who live this kind of oppressed existence in Toronto that need to see this film. And I guess I just wonder, if you guys can make that up. Did anyone hear?
Yeah. Well, ultimately, it's how are you targeting the niche, the people that you really want to do and the distribution, and she praises them also for giving them a platform for Kimberly and Scott.
Yeah. Well, that's part of what I was referring to. It's one of the things that's real important to us is to make sure that young people, especially particularly young people who don't see a lot of options in their life, can see this film and can be inspired by it. And we've seen that happening. But you're right. Art house leaders usually aren't in those communities. And so beyond that, let me just back up for a second. One thing that I think is important. It's just a distinction in the way your choice of words of that we're giving, Kimberly and Scott a voice. They kind of gave our film the voice because it was there, and it was there for. I mean, we saw it, and then they saw it, and we identified it when we met them, and they just stepped into the role like that. It was a beautiful thing. I'll let Tia talk a little bit more about the values.
We elevated Kimberly's voice. She certainly had one that she used, job in doing outreach and organizing Beyond the Outhouse, of Art House. But we hope that you will help us with that. We're really going to enlist you all because we can't do it alone. And you can bring people to this theater. You can bring people to this film. And we're really, you know, as an independent film and an independent documentary, we're really relying on you all to help us spread the word.
Thank you.
The pace of the rebuilding is appallingly slow, and kind of birthed organically in the film. We hear it a few times in the film in different places. And we told Kimberly we were going to name the film Troubled Water. And a week later, we got this track that she had written, produced, and recorded in a good studio in New Orleans. And it was just an ad for the end credits. But it's also, you know, just proof of her amazing talent. And she has a new CD that's available. If anybody would like to hear more of her music, she's got a record company called Born Hustler Records. And the web address is bornhustler.com.